This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and if you would like to contact me again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can contact me either through the website or by regular mail if you would like to leave prayer requests or comments. So if you'd like those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, the last time we ended up getting to Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter in the book of Genesis. And while we haven't covered every verse, and while we haven't covered every doctrine that could be covered, I hope that those of you who have journeyed with us through Genesis have found out that this is a book with a wealth of information for those of us who live in this New Testament age. The principles that we find developed for us in the New Testament are all found here. As a matter of fact, most of those principles are found in the very first few chapters. But I thought today it might be well for us to just do a little review and summary of what we have learned in the book of Genesis. Remember that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are called the books of the law. They are books that tell us, first of all, about the beginnings, that's Genesis. They tell us about redemption, that's Exodus. They tell us about worship, that's Leviticus. They tell us about how we wander through the wilderness, that's Numbers. And then in Deuteronomy, we have the law reaffirmed and re-given. Some have said that in Genesis, we have people going down because they start out good and they end up making mistakes and ultimately end up in Egypt, and they are actually going down into bondage, starting out good and moving in the wrong direction. And this is something that I have tried to emphasize in this program. There are many people who think that they are getting better and better, and if they work hard enough, they'll be good enough to go to heaven. And they're getting to heaven based on their works. But as I understand Scripture, if we try to get to heaven based on our works, every day we actually get further away from God because we compound our sins. And even though we might not be the great sinners of people around us, we do sin and we go down. And the only solution for going down is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus, then we can be assured that even though as sinners we still will sin, that our sins are forgiven and that we will go up, that is, we'll go to heaven when we die. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so Genesis is a book of beginnings. Everything starts out good. After the work was done of creation, it was very good. But then the children of Israel, then Adam and Eve sin, and ultimately the nation is developed through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the nation ends up in a place of bondage in the place of Egypt. And as we go on into the historical books, we find out that it's easier for the nation, it seemingly, to sin and worship other gods than it is to remain faithful to Jehovah. And so that's a lesson for us. As we then look at Genesis, that's the book of beginnings, but some say that means that they were going down. And then Exodus, there was the book of redemption, as we said, and they're going out. And then we come to Numbers, and we find out that they're going through the wilderness. And so they're traveling. And when we come to Deuteronomy, they're given the law, and it's been reaffirmed, and they should be going on. And so as we look at each of these books, we're summarizing them just so that you can remember them, and we are oversimplifying them. Of that, there's no doubt, but there is New Testament principles for us. When we come to Genesis, we find out that one of the basic principles of Genesis is that God is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. when we come to the New Testament, we find out that that God who was the creator was really the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 verse 16, we read, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." And so when we talk about God creating, sometimes we think of it being God in the general sense, or perhaps in the sense of the Father. And we know that the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. We can see that in Genesis 1. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. And so we see that the Spirit is involved, but we noticed that really the Creator is the Lord Jesus, and things were created through him and for him. And as we look at the Bible, the Lord Jesus is its theme. In the Old Testament, he's coming. In the New Testament, he came and he's coming again. And it's the Lord Jesus that God has presented to us so that we would know who God is. And it's the Lord Jesus that is the central theme and the central character of our Bibles. When we look at creation, then in Genesis 1, all things were created good. But then we see Eve being deceived by the serpent, and she took things in her own hands. She wanted to be as gods, knowing good and evil. And because of that, she made a simple decision that has affected many, actually has affected all of us down through the ages. She gave to her husband, and her husband did eat, and Adam is given credit because he was the one that God had put in control and in charge. He was given credit for that sin, and so by one man, sin entered into this society, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The consequences of her sin are something that she probably never thought about. She probably didn't really understand what death was when she was first confronted with it. And so when we look at Eve, she didn't obey a simple command. And, of course, I've often emphasized that she just had one command and she didn't obey it. And for practical purposes, we have one command as well, and that command is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and people will not obey that either. Him only should we worship. Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. Thou shalt have one God, and we're to worship him, and that God in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see how that people use every excuse in the books to try to avoid responsibility to the God who has manifested himself to us. In the beginning, John 1 says, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And again, we read, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so when we look at the Lord Jesus, that's the one that we're to worship, and our command is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he that believeth, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And friend, have you violated that command? Our sins make us worthy of eternal condemnation. We deserve to be banished from the presence of God because of our sins. But God has provided for our sins, but he hasn't provided for the rejection of Christ. And so there's a command. Have, as Eve violated the one command in the garden, have we violated that central issue and that central command in the New Testament? So the Lord is really our creator. And then we find out that while God, what God makes, he makes good, and all things were good in Genesis 2, particularly after he'd finished creating a woman, he said that they were very good. And then we come to Genesis chapter 3 and see sin enter into the world through Satan. And now things are not good. And we see that in our world today. It's easier, it seems, for people to sin than it is for them to do right. And so we read in Romans chapter 3, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And so that includes all of us, and all of us have sin in our lives and are deserving of the judgment of God. But God is just, and the justifier of the person who believes in the Lord Jesus. So while we see things created by God being created good, we see that while God is good, Satan is evil. And Satan has a desire to destroy that which is of God. And so throughout the Bible, we see the tension between good and evil. And because the heart of man is desperately wicked, and because when we come to Noah, we find out that in that day, the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And because we have that nature, it seems as though it's easier for us to sin than it is for us to do right. And I know that it's easy for us to point the fingers at other people and other people's sins, but really, we've got to recognize that this sin issue is like leprosy. We can catch it easily. We do catch it easily. It affects all of us. And the more we are around people who sin, the more likely we are to be like them and to sin ourselves. And that's why we need to associate with people who have been freed from sin by trusting in the Lord Jesus. And we need to find out what the Bible really says about these issues. And we need to find out that it isn't baptism that saves. It isn't good works that saves. It isn't church membership that saves. It isn't all of these things that save. It's the Lord Jesus that saves. And when we do all of these things in order to be saved, they're sin. But when we do them because we're saved, they're worship. And I hope we've got a hold of that as we've gone through some of these principles in the Old Testament. So now we find out that there's sin in the world, and that sin is first manifested in Cain and Abel. That is, at least it's manifested publicly in Cain and Abel. And we find a battle going on between one who wants to worship God according to the instructions of God and one who wants to worship God his own way. Cain wanted to do things his way. Abel did things God's way. And when Cain realized that Abel was accepted and that he was not, we have the first martyr for worshiping the living and true God in that Cain kills his brother Abel. And so we see that tension in the world, and it's that tension that's there yet today. Those who will not worship God want to destroy those who want to. And so, friend, as we look at these people and review the book of Genesis, I hope that you have not violated that one command. I hope that you have obeyed God and have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved, and that your sin has been put away and your sins forgiven. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We commit the program into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.